Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We got Seth Emerson coming up, guys, with our dog report. But first, we got some breaking news in the NBA. We bring Mike Conti right back into the studio.
Yeah, so intern Wojnarowski of ESPN, guys, reporting that the Hawks have made another trade. They've been very, very active over the last few weeks. This one is a player-for-player swap. Kent Bazemore to Portland for Evan Turner. That's it. Mm. They are both players on expiring contracts. Turner makes just a tiny bit less, about $600,000. Less than Bazemore, so the Hawks get no salary cap relief as a result of this trade. It's just a straight player-for-player swap, Evan Turner for Kent Bazemore. The Hawks will still not be able to make any significant moves in free agency as a result of this. Incidentally now, every member of the Hawks' 2015 team that won 60 games, they're all gone. Wow. He was the last one to still be on this team, and they are all gone now. So Kent Bazemore to Portland for Evan Turner. Both clubs cannot confirm this until July the 6th.
Right.
But that's what Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting.
And we were just talking before we came back, and we'll get right to Seth Emerson. I think Evan Turner's a brand. I mean, that was a nice piece on a good team.
Former number two overall draft pick, has bounced around a little bit, has had trouble staying healthy.
Okay.
I don't know why Portland is doing this. It doesn't give them
any flexibility.
From a player-for-player standpoint, the one thing this does accomplish for the Hawks is it really now the door is wide open for these young players to play. I mean, now you don't have to worry about finding Bazemore minutes. I don't know if there would be a plan to buy out Evan Turner. I doubt it, but I don't know. I don't want to say declaratively. But what it does now, it really opens the door for Kevin Huerter, for Cam Reddish, for DeAndre Hunter. They're going to be the guys here in 2019-2020,
right.
And this trade might be one more step. But again, no salary cap relief for the Hawks. It's not like they're dumping the Bazemore salary, the Evan Turner salary, only about $600,000 less. Both players have expiring deals at the end of the year.
All right, Mike Conti, we'll talk more about this one. I mean, on first blush, it sounds like a net win for the Hawks, albeit for 1 year.
Once again, I mean, Travis, he continues to make move after move, moves that we're all happy with, and clearly Bazemore was – not a part of the plans going forward, especially this season. I mean, his best years were behind him in a Hawks uniform. So this is a win type of move.
Right.
And I think you can get more from Evan Turner than Bazemore.
No, Nick, nobody would debate that with you, Brian. We'll talk more about this deal, guys, if you're just tuning in. Baze is gone. His career ends with us, and we get, again, Turner from the Blazers. Right now, time for the dog report.
Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by BrightBoxElectrical.com. If you want a man cave, you want to be a baller, I'm sure BMAC has got a giant home theater. Be just like him. Call the guys at BrightBox at 770-901-2500. Seth Emerson joins us, guys. Follow him on Twitter at Seth W. Emerson, talking about what the dogs are doing. Seth, it seemed like it was a long time ago. It was last spring that this went down with J.J. Holloman. Give us the timeline on how it took so long to play out.
By the way, this is not the first time I think I've come on right as, like, there was breaking news with another pro team right before I came on. So you guys have had to make the rough transition to me doing Georgia football. So
No. Smooth as brown sipping whiskey to go to Seth Emerson now to talk dog.
Okay, so the Holloman thing, this is not something that has been percolating a while as far as, you know, we've all heard about it behind the scenes, and it just took a while for it to actually – bubble up. Y'all have dealt with that. You know, you hear rumors about something, whatever. This came out of the blue. This young woman alleged this incident. For the first time, she went public with it. Well, she went to the police with it June 2nd, earlier this month, but said it had happened last April, so about 10 months or 14 months prior to that. Why she waited that long, we don't know. It's not clear. All we do know is that as the investigation went forward, she ended up deciding not to pursue charges. The one witness to it, allegedly, was Jeremiah Holloman's older brother. The police could not reach him, and he ultimately, through a lawyer, said that he didn't want to talk. And so the police considered the case inactive.
Wow.
But the Georgia program, as it was, they haven't elaborated on what they did to look into it and everything, but they made their decision to dismiss Jeremiah Holloman. All that we know on the Holloman side of things is what is in the incident report, which is very exhaustive. I've read through it several times. Police did not really leave any I's or T's out of there. So that's where we are. Georgia evidently thought that there was enough there to dismiss from the team somebody who not only was going to be very important to this team on the field, but was off the field even as a sophomore last year, one of their more upfront guys, somebody that tended to speak to the media a lot, somebody that just was one of the faces of the team. And it's rather stunning that it was him, of all people, that got embroiled in this.
Seth, what's next for Georgia offensively? You talked about Holloman, an experienced player, averaged over 17 yards a catch a year ago. You lost so many talented pass catchers from last year's team, and he was supposed to be the vocal point as far as the receiving game goes. What's next for UGA at the wide receiver position? I mean, who eventually will be called upon to step up?
Yeah, there's players there, but I just got done filing a story looking at the receiver question. It'll appear on The Athletic tomorrow morning. But Holloman was going to be, like you said, maybe a focal point, but probably more in the sense that this was the one known commodity.
Right.
This was the guy that Jake Fromm could say, okay, I've gone to Jeremiah in tight situations before. This was their leading returning receiver. He was a 6'2", good target, a guy who knew how to get open, guy who was a good run blocker, guy who was a leader in the meeting room. And maybe by the end of the season, somebody else, whether it's Demetrius Robertson, Kyrus Jackson, one of the freshmen, Dominic Blaylock, George Pickens, maybe by the end of the season, somebody else would even end up leading the team in catches or receiving yards or be, just as much a focal point. I think they were going to be a kind of receiving by committee situation this year. But I think there was still a pretty good chance that Holloman was going to be their leader in catches and receiving yards by the end of the year. He was going to be the guy at the beginning of the year, especially as you lead up to the Notre Dame game, which is really their most important. It's definitely their most important game the first half of the season, but when you look at it, probably their only losable game first half of the season before the final stretch starts to get more difficult. So now they're going to go into the season with, they need Demetrius Robertson to
right.
be as good as he was at Cal. They need Tyler Simmons as a senior to really emerge as a go-to guy. They need Dominic Blaylock and George Pickens to play right away. I mean, there was never a question about them redshirting or not. They weren't, but now they're definitely going to play. And they need someone like Matt Landers, who's this 6'5", long, lengthy redshirt sophomore who just looks great running a route, but you need him to be a consistent target and a consistent option. So they've got options there, but you can't sit here and say, well, this is the guy that's definitely going to step up and replace J.J. Holloman. We don't know at this point.
It is Seth Emerson with his guys in the WadeFord.com hotline covering the Dogs, getting the kind of the postmortem on what happened with J.J. Holloman, who was dismissed late Friday afternoon. We talked about it on the show. I was just going to ask you about Matt Landers because he kind of impressed some people in the spring game. Looks like he's going to get the freakish skills. You have any kind of vibe on how James Coley is going to call it? Because, I mean, this could be Fromm's last year, and how are they going to use the wide receivers in the first place?
Well, James Coley's history, whether it's Georgia spring games, with 3 years under Chaney where he would call one team and Chaney would call the other. And then Coley's history at Miami leads everyone to believe that he's going to pass the ball a lot more, and maybe he'd like to. But he was also playing to the team's strengths at Miami. They were a better pass team than they were running. They just didn't have very good running backs. And, you know, spring games are fun. You always pass more drugs.
Right.
So I could see them really leaning on the run even more, especially early in the season. Now, with Jake Fromm, you've got an experienced quarterback who's really comfortable, and he's going to have to make those receivers better. But he's also got to be able to trust those receivers. And the only guys he's thrown to a lot, the only guy he's really has thrown to a lot who's back this year is Charlie Warner, tight end.
Right.
And Tyler Simmons had 9 pass catches last year. How much more of a factor is he going to be? I would think right now, very early, he would lean on the run game, and that's not a bad thing. When you've got DeAndre Swift, we'll see how healthy Zamir White is. Brian Herrien, people kind of forget about him, but he just runs like a bull straight ahead. And, by the way, potentially the best offensive line in Georgia football history to run behind. Now, you could also say, well, if that offensive line is so good, which it is, then Jake Fromm can just hang back there and, you know, wait a while before somebody gets open. But it's not as simple as that. The receivers have to get open. You can't literally wait a whole time. I mean, they're not going to – 5 offensive linemen aren't going to throw down every single defender that comes their way. There's going to be a rush, and those guys have to make the catches. I would think that it would be a lot easier for them to lean on the running game, especially early in the year.
Well, based on what we've seen throughout the offseason with this program as far as infractions away from the football field, I mean, Kirby and his staff, they had a lot to deal with. What, 4 guys were arrested between, what, February and March, and now hearing about the Holloman situation. But, like you said, this investigation is inactive. And because of what we've seen with some of the players that were that was arrested, do you believe that kind of pushed Kirby to basically dismissing Holloman off the team, even though the investigation is inactive?
It's hard to say. That's a good question. It's hard to say, especially since this situation happened last year before this long run. So what happened when Jeremiah Holloman and Kirby Smart spoke? What happened between Jeremiah Holloman and whoever he initially spoke, if he spoke to anybody else on the team? What went into their evaluation of it? I think that we're also living in a day and age where there's a lot less tolerance for these kind of situations. I mean, obviously right. with Me Too, and obviously with just, you know, people say you don't hit women, period, no matter what. And so I think that figured into it as well.
Yeah, I know the optics are never good when you see, you know, it's one thing, a beer ticket, a speeding ticket that gets you suspended, but you're right, the optics on this are just too awful for Kirby to roll with. What do you think the biggest challenge for this defense is going to be? We've talked a lot about, you know, offense, even with some of the things like Holloman not being there, they've got a lot of pieces. What's the biggest concern? We've been saying pass rush, taking pressure off of the young secondary.
That's one of them. They're emphasizing that a lot. I think with the secondary, the key there is Eric Stokes, the guy who started the tail end of last year, does he continue to look the way he did? I mean, it looks like that could almost be a DeAndre Baker situation where once he gets in the lineup, he never leaves because he ends up being that good. I hate to make that comparison, but
too late.
There are some comparisons there. We'll see. It's very premature. We didn't even realize DeAndre Baker was DeAndre Baker until like well into his career. But then the other thing is Tyson Campbell. Does he rebound from what was a rough freshman season and end up being as good as he was expected to be? People forget he started as a true freshman, which people kind of think, oh, no big deal, you know. But they actually haven't started that many of these young studs right away. Tyson Campbell was one of the few. Then they had to yank him out of the lineup. Do they, you know, emerge with what they want at nickelback? I think they'll end up okay at safety. They got J.R. Reed, Richard LeCount, Otis Reese, combination of those two at free safety. Yeah, I for all this talk, though, I still come back a little bit to the run defense, which was their concern for a lot of 2018. They firmed it up the latter half of last year. How are they going to look going into next year? Is N'Kobe Dean as good as expected? Does he firm that up right away when it comes to the second level or even the first level? Does right. he have that sideline-to-sideline ability that Roquan Smith had? Because everyone keeps using the Roquan Smith comparison with N'Kobe Dean. Jordan Davis, nose tackle, came on the second half of last year as a freshman. Does he make that jump this sophomore year? Or do they potentially miss guys like Jonathan Ledbetter more than people think they'll miss him? I think if they're good with the run defense, I think the pass defense issues may really be minimized because, you know, if you're good against the run, then you can put yourself in good situations where you know the other team needs to pass and really pin your ears back and play around and have some fun with blitzes and such.
Seth, we always appreciate it. It's kind of like, you know, national championship or bust. I mean, that's like the level of expectation now. We'll be picking your brain throughout the summer, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
All right, take care.
That's our guy, Seth Emerson. Guys, read him every day. Reads great stuff on the blogs. Go to Seth W. Emerson on Twitter and follow him. BMAC is in. Brian McFadden hanging out with us. Seminole, longtime Steeler, 2 Super Bowl rings. My wife's happy she's I'm working with her because she's a big Steeler fan. She went to Pitt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so you're digging that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steelers played here. You know, she had the Falcon shirt on. I think she had Steeler underwear on. Probably too much information. We'll come back. We got more on big – what? I'm just being straight with you, Squid. I mean, she's still a secret Steeler fan. I'm not going to lie. We got information from the NBA. Why would the Portland Trailblazers do the deal?
Yes.
Try to make some sense of it. Kent Bazemore is a Hawk no more. And also the Red Hot Braves. It's all coming up next right here on Dukes and Bell. All right, there you go. Tell Craig, the song sucks. I need more energy. It's Dukes and Bell with Brian McFadden in for Carl today inside the Kia Studios. And we had some breaking news today. If you're just tuning in, the Hawks move Kent Bazemore is expiring contract for another expiring contract. And we get Evan Turner, who had some really good years a couple years back, but it was part of a Portland team, which I know you guys got to see do their thing with Damian Lillard. But a lot of people hitting us up on our text line at 404-741-0929, brought to you by Salomon Brothers, and on the Twitter as well. And in a nutshell, got to agree, Brian, with what the people are saying. Expiring contracts, cap space galore for 2020. And more importantly, Brian, we are freeing up minutes for the young guys to get out on the court and do their thing, and Bays would have been a hindrance for the young guys' development here.
No question. And not necessarily a hindrance.
I don't mean like in a bad way. Just be taking up the minutes.
He wouldn't be getting any minutes.
He'd be sitting here earning $19 million.
Yes, basically, because these young guys will get an opportunity. You know, they added quality depth at the wing positions here in Atlanta, and both guys are athletic. Both guys can play defense, and we clearly need to improve in that element. And I like the move, especially for the Hawks, because like you said, they got rid of a player that. Pretty much the best was behind him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And by the way, like Bays, and some guys feel for Portland, he could be just the thing. And Kent, and we've said, like, we've had him in the studio and we've actually said this, so it's not like we're talking behind his back. Kent is incredibly goofy. Mm-hmm. Kent is a guy that, you know, he's fun to talk to. We just saw him over to East Lake. They had a big media tournament for the tour championship. And Brian, they gave us all a chance to play with golf clubs from the 1920s.
Yep.
You know, to see what Bobby Jones and all these guys got to hit with. And you couldn't imagine a piece of wood. It feels like a plank in your hand. You can't imagine trying to control the golf ball.
Yeah.
So they all gave us to show you. Imagine hitting a golf ball about like this. Well, Bays, because he plays a lot of golf, it wasn't his fault, but came down on an angle and he broke one of the sticks.
Wow.
And we were like trying to put a monetary value on it. I guess just priceless, I guess, is the way it was described. So there's a picture of it where it broke right there at the hosel. Anyway, but Bays is a good dude.
Yeah.
He does a lot of charity work off the court here in Metro Atlanta. We've had him on the show every year to talk about it. But, I mean, just – it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe, you know, he can find a spot in Portland. You know, C.J. McCollum is the shooting guard. You know, you got Rodney Hood. They drafted Little. So who knows exactly what their plans is for Bazemore. But hopefully they find a way to get him in the rotation.
A listener of ours on Twitter, Emmanuel, saying, yep, I wish Bazemore well because he's a good dude. It's a new vibe with the Hawks, and I love it. About to buy my season tickets. And that's one of the things we had heard from a lot of people on the text line. We saw it on Friday. We were up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. People really legitimately energized. And again, we don't know where it's going to go, Brian, but all indicators are we got some young studs here. You got a young nucleus. You're going to watch this team grow up, and hopefully we keep this core together, and it's onward and upward, man.
Yeah, and also, too, right now, the unknown in the East, you know, gives you another reason to be extremely optimistic, not mm-hmm. knowing exactly what will happen with Kawhi, what will happen with Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker. I mean, a lot of these guys could leave and go out west. And if that's the case, you know, the East becomes even it's already open, but it can become even, you know, more wide open from the standpoint of finding a way to get into that playoff conversation. And I believe if John Collins was healthy, if this team was healthy for the majority of the year a year ago, they would have found a way to get into the playoffs.
And that's the thing, guys. We were like right there. I mean, it's 12 more wins if John Collins is there, if he's healthy and 100%. Don't forget, Trae Young came on. And again, he's a younger guy. By the middle part of the season, All-Star break on, he was unbelievable. Didn't miss but one game, and that was for load management, where they basically gave him a night off.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was steady, made big-time shots. And if he had the production from the jump, remember, Luka had played a couple years at a pro level before coming in. And I'm over the Luka versus Trae. As Conti and we've said this before, two teams can win a trade. Luka's perfect for the Mavs. And at the end of the day, it's not a zero-sum game. But what did we get at the end of the day? Cam Reddish and Trae Young. So good things are happening. Bays would have no reason for him to be here, to be on the bench. So a guy's going to sit on the bench for $600,000 less than Evan Turner. That's what it comes down to, is the rub.
No question. And who knows exactly what they will do with Turner, a kind of a glue guy, you know, a guy that, you know, never really lived to the potential coming out, you know, out of college. But yet, you know, he's a guy that can defend. So you get another guy that can defend. And like I said, he's a glue guy. So I'm not saying that, you know, he's a difference maker. But if you had to pick, who would you rather have to be a part of the Hawks team, Bazemore or Turner? I think we all would say Turner.
Look, if Bays had continued his development, as soon as we got Bays the contract, people started chirping about it. And I think most people do like the guy. It just was not living up to that kind of a deal. So you get a guy who's also making that kind of money, just slightly less. And now we get to see the young guys get more minutes and really hopefully grow. And they'll learn on the job. And as Brian just laid out, with a few breaks here, because you just touched on it, the East is wide open.
Yeah.
Kawhi's in all likelihood going to L.A. By the way, the Clippers are putting billboards up all over L.A.
Yeah, I know. Is he the Clippers or the Raptors?
I think Clippers. I think he's a SoCal guy. And one thing for certain, I think a lot of people, media types, okay, Carl and I, didn't really know what this guy was about, because you were confused over what happened with him leaving San Antonio. You realize this guy's a killer. You know, he's got a low key personality.
Man, listen, he's a dog, man.
Right.
And he can care less what you think about him. So he's going to do what he wants to do. Whatever is best for him, that is what he will do. But if you're a Raptors fan and he does leave, tip your hat to him.
And you got a championship.
Yes.
You can never take that away. Look, if we had won the stinking Super Bowl in 16, I wouldn't be so upset all the time about screaming about Vic Beasley and everything.
Yeah, think about this. If your favorite team can give you a championship in your lifetime,
right,
you're okay with that.
That's
at least
it.
One. Yeah.
Now, I mean, who's your team? Were you a Dolphins fan growing up?
No.
Okay.
How dare you?
Well, you were in Hollywood, Florida,
so
for God's sake.
I hated anything Miami related.
Because you went to Florida State.
No, before I went to Florida State. I actually hated Florida State growing up as a child, wanting to play for Clemson.
Made a lot of hate for it in your heart. What would Dan Marino and Shula ever do to you?
A true fan. I was a Lawrence Taylor fan. Giants.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, I'm down with that.
Yes.
I was a Giants fan. Okay, that's cool. Never mind. Dolphin thinks it's okay.
Yeah, Dolphin.
I got an LT autographed helmet, and I got the Marino autographed helmet, which I later found out was signed by the equipment manager. It is our man Brian McFadden. The other story today, we're going to talk plenty more about the Hawks, guys. We'll get more information about why this trade went down. But the Braves, red hot. If you didn't hear it, let's hear that Camargo, because it sounded so good when it went down. Tough day for Soroka. He gets hit on a comebacker. Right arm. It's bruised. He said, look, I played hockey. I know what this is all about. I'll be fine. He's taken some knocks before, is his point at age 21. But Soroka, maybe he misses another start. We'll find out. One thing for certain, we knocked the Phillies out, and now we're putting the Nationals down, too.
And a high fly ball that's well hit deep right field. To the track goes Eaton. To the scoreboard. It is gone! Pinch hit home run for Camargo.
By the way, you believe it is too early to say the Braves are going to win this East? I mean, the Phillies, I don't think they can buy their way out of this, Brian, because who are they going to get?
I mean, we don't know. It's too early, right? I mean, you don't want to burn the money, right?
No.
So let's just wait. Let's just continue to be a fan of what the Braves are doing. But, man, they're fun to watch.
Twitter saying, hey, you remember they got this, Conti had put up on his Twitter, get the feeling this division is already being won. I mean, I get it. I don't want to jinx it. But the Braves, 6.5 over Philly, 8.5 games over the Nats. The Mets have completely imploded. If you didn't hear the story, the Mets up in Chicago, that's where the Braves are tonight. Mets, their manager does some screwy stuff, doesn't use the closer in a closer situation. He gets asked about it by a reporter, and eventually I guess he felt the reporter was being too, I don't know, petulant. Either way, Mickey Callaway loses his stuff. Next thing you know, Jason Vargas hears him saying, get the hell out of my face. And then Vargas wants to kill the reporter too. Reporter works for Newsday, asked a basic question like, you use this guy Seth Lugo during the eighth inning instead of going to Edwin Diaz. Lugo allowed a go-ahead three-run homer, and then that's all she wrote. And the Mets are now in free-fall mode. They issued an apology. This was a major scene because New York media is always going to blow stuff, Brian, out of proportion.
Yep.
So you got 15 guys or however many guys on the road, five or six guys covering the team plus TV, and you got a manager screaming at a newspaper man. That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. And right now, you know, you're a Braves fan. You got to love it. You know, you got to love a team, you know, being becoming dysfunctional. And,
right.
And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to see, you know what I mean, as far as what's going on in the NL East. But, man, I love it.
Well, I think the Phillies, the thing is with Harper, maybe Harper gets hot in the second half, okay. But they still, this Braves team is just so much more clutch. 1-8.
Yes.
The only thing is
one of the best lineups in the game.
But this is why, but I agree that we are kicking butt and everything is wine and roses right now before the All-Star break. But guess what, bro? You're not as good as the Dodgers.
Nah.
The Dodgers, they're like, what are they, almost like 30 games over 500, yes. Whatever the number is?
So
it's ridiculous.
So let me ask you this question then. I'm a believer. When it comes to sports, when you're a team that's the top of your division and you don't really have that championship pedigree, that championship experience, you have to put all your chips in and say, I'm all in.
Right.
Like when you're a top of your division, like right now with the Braves, let's go out and find a way to make another big-time splash move because we know the team we're chasing. You just talked about the Dodgers.
That's who you're going to see. You're going to see maybe the Cubbies tonight. Cubbies had a slow start. They're on top of their division. Yeah. By the way, Dodgers are 19 games over 500. And they're like 34-9 at home.
Yeah.
But my point, Brian, is you got everything going for you, but the one thing, and Donaldson has worked out. And nobody's going to say, why we spent $23 million on Donaldson anymore. He's raking. But you got to get closer, man. We need a real closer. Luke Jackson is not it. Luke Jackson makes me nervous. I don't like being nervous. You got to go get the
– Nobody likes being nervous.
You got Keuchel, and that's good, and he's going to get better, but you still got to go beef up the bullpen. There's too many variables in that equation right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, put your chips in, and let's say we're all in.
We'll talk plenty more about the Bravos. They'll be part of the big story brought to you by John Foy. But next, Brian, have you ever played Yeah Man, No Man with Squidbilly?
Yes.
Well, then, okay, then. I was going to say it's a special time in a boy's life. Squidbilly will come in with some questions, including what was Cam Newton trying to do on a transatlantic flight? Next.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment, and sometimes a surprise question is today's question number one.
All right, it is Squidbilly, our producer, Bo Morgan. He's got questions for me and Brian McFadden in for Carl today, who is vacating and or vacationing. I'm a linguist. Hey, man. Also, guys, we've got more news on the Red Hot Braves, who take 2 out of 3 from the Nats and are in total control, according to some of the East. Sure looks that way. All right, Squid, what you got? First question. Fire it up.
Yeah, Carl, he's posted a picture of the beach and a can of Hey Man L already. So
nice.
Clearly, he's having fun. All right, so over the weekend on Friday night, the Phillies, obviously Chase Utley was a legendary, won a World Series there, and so they decided to go ahead and put him in. Mike Conti was telling me they have a little their own Hall of Fame kind of thing, so like a Ring of Honor or whatever. So, a cult-like show that Mike and myself are very big fan of is called Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Basically, the whole basis for people is it's based off a real bar. There's a real bar in Philadelphia. I've been there when we were in town there, called Patty's Pub, and it's this little hole in the wall. I mean, it is. I went there on the Thursday that we played the Eagles to open the season, and me and Mike Thomas from CW are in there at lunch, and dudes literally came in off their lunch break with their hard hat, put it down. They have a couple of beers and a sandwich, and they go back to work. So it's a really cool kind of environment.
Yeah,
that's what this is based on. So there's an episode where when the Phillies were good, one of the characters named Mac wrote a love letter to Chase Utley. Because he wanted to meet Chase Utley and play catch.
I remember that.
Because it's like being a fan.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded like this.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. Really. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. I love your hair. You run fast. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither. These are all things we can talk about and more. I know you have not been getting my letters because I know you would write back if you did. And I hope you write back this time and we get to be good friends. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
Wow.
Now, again, Mac, you gotta say, these are all dysfunctional characters. This show is like Seinfeld on crack.
Yeah.
That's how it's been described by Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, and so that was one of the other characters, D, reading the love letter because they had found it. So they brought Mac, the real guy who plays the character Mac on the show, and they brought to Chase Utley. When Chase Utley threw out the first pitch for the game, he threw it to Mac.
Oh,
so it's kind of cool thing.
Okay.
And he really is from Philadelphia now. Uh-huh. That's his He's really from Philadelphia. He grew up there. Yeah, Mac is.
The actors that wrote this and developed it, and they got Danny DeVito in out there. They actually have a Philly connection. That's okay. Why, yeah. When the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, they had an old episode about that. It was kind of funny. It's very, for you, like a sports guy, and if you've got a twisted sense of humor like me, you'll dig the show.
They have one where they went, tried to go to the World Series game and ended up.
All right, hit it, Craig. It's been a minute and a half. Hit it. Oh, you can't?
Nah, Craig's being nice today. Anyway, so the question is not your typical yeah, man, no, man, but who is a sports hero of yours that you'd like to play catch with or like shoot around or something like that?
Tough, because you play in the NFL. Let us in. Open up your heart, Brian. Don't be so macho. Let the kids in. Who's a guy you'd want to have a catch with?
You know what?
It's probably Danny Cannell, you know, being a Florida State guy.
Well, you probably picked him off in practice.
Nah, it was Cannell's a little older
before you.
You know what? I'll say Charles Woodson.
Oh, that's nice. Pretty cool. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Charles Woodson. I was a big Charles Woodson fan in high school.
Play DB?
Yeah, that's how I actually, you know, learned how to play corner, watching Charles Woodson.
Very cool. Then for me, it was Tom Seaver. That was my guy. Uh-huh. Mets. Unfortunately, he's got dealing with dementia and things. It's not good. They're honoring the 69 Mets this summer, by the way. Back to you, Bo.
That's pretty cool. All right. So we all know the plane seat gate happened this weekend where Cam Newton dressed like Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, hold on. He's a fashionable guy. He was going to the Paris fashion shows. That's why he was dressed like that.
He's dressed like Lenny Kravitz. He's like a 6'5" Lenny Kravitz.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
Or a strong black woman. Either way, he definitely gets to rock his gear that only Cam can wear.
Wow. So he tried after getting on a plane and not having enough leg room.
Yes.
Cam offers.
Now, the backstory is that apparently the flight he was on his initial flight from Paris to Charlotte.
That's actually my part. Yeah, can I tell?
I'm trying to move it along.
Video. Yeah, I saw a video.
He missed his flight, so he had to go on this. That's why apparently he was and so discombobulated as he was wandering through first class.
I saw the video.
Well, that takes 3/4 of what I was about to say away because that's what I'm trying to update this story.
What's the damn question?
I don't know anymore, Craig. I just get ran over.
I'm just trying to move.
I'm just a punching bag on this segment.
That's for sure.
Yeah, man, no man. You would take $1,500 if someone offered it to you to move seats.
A 10-hour flight? No man.
No man.
Not taking it.
And again, that's why, because when I first saw the article squid, I was like, why is Cam doing this? Because he didn't miss his flight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got to figure he's a first class traveling
hands
dude.
Down. But you know, when you miss your flight, you got to get what's available.
All bets are off.
And 10-hour flight, people are not giving up first class or extra leg room because he wasn't trying to get first class. He was just trying to get extra leg room.
Yeah, a seat in business class. Because
you have first and then you have the extra leg.
Because, you know, squid, like, you know, by where the emergency door, you know, the exit is, that's always a good spot if you're a taller dude.
Yeah, 10-hour flight?
Yeah, man.
And listen, when you go back and watch the video, did you see how disgusted he looked
he was
when
pouting.
He sat down and was like, I don't know, he was probably thinking, like, this is a 10-hour flight.
That's the old, you're not supposed to say no to me.
It was
no one tells
he
me no.
He kind of had that, like, I got to agree with Squid. He kind of had that look, like, disgusted as if I couldn't buy this seat.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you got to up the price. I'm not $1,500, no.
Do you think he was like he was a thought away from saying, do you know who I am?
He could
like, that's the way, that's kind of the look. Because
so he was coming back from Paris?
Yes.
Yeah. And he missed his flight. That's and he had to go, I think, to Dallas or whatever.
Yeah. That's a tough get, man, going home. I mean, if you are, here's the thing, if you already paid for your flight was about $1,500 to go to Paris as it is.
First class probably
is
more.
I mean, more than that. Yeah. So if you're trying to break even, maybe. I'm with Brian. I wouldn't do it either, man. Comfort is important when you're traveling that long.
Yeah,
I got short legs. I do it in a heartbeat. That's $1,500.
Me too, but I'm more worried about the
I got a short paycheck, too.
But, Bo, I'm more worried about the free drinks. I like those free drinks up there at business class.
But you know what? When you have the leverage, you could have negotiated, like, listen, okay, give me 15, but also I want the drinks.
Yeah, send me a few cocktails back there, Cam.
Yeah, but if you look at the video, he wasn't changing sections.
Yeah.
It was just a front row.
It was a few rows from where he was. Like I said, it wasn't first class.
Yeah.
It was just extra leg room.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So, remember how Jalen Ramsey started last year? Now, Florida State guy. I'm not trying to pick on Florida State guys, but I will if I have to.
Okay.
Remember how he started last year where he called every quarterback basically garbage except for his guy?
His guy.
Well, he went on Adam Schefter's podcast, and Schefter was like, hey, you got any thoughts on your rival quarterbacks this year? And he says, you want to do this again, huh? I'm not going to do this again, but we do play some good quarterbacks this year. Of course, probably the quarterback I'm most excited for is Nick Foles. He goes on to kind of talk about Nick Foles, and he says he's a Super Bowl champion, so I hope he comes out here and plays free and knows he has the support of everybody. He goes on to say, I'm growing, man. It's year 4 for me. It's a different me. A lot of people think they know me. They don't really know me, but, hey, that's okay. So it sounds like Jalen Ramsey, after getting a really bad rap, is trying to turn a corner. Hmm. So yeah, man, no, man, we're going to see a new Jalen Ramsey in 2019.
I hope not.
Yeah, keep your edge, right?
Yeah. Keep doing what you've been doing up to this point, one of the best corners in the game. You know, don't put a muzzle on yourself.
Right. Not to mention the reason that Coach Cowher wouldn't speak to you is the perception of Florida State defensive backs.
That's right.
Which Jalen, of course,
Florida State guys think you know everything.
Jalen played right to that perception right there. Hey, look, some guys got to talk it up. Some guys got to psych themselves up.
Yeah.
He did basically drop almost every skill position player in the AFC at one point. That interview was GQ or whatever the magazine was.
Yeah, it was GQ.
It was GQ.
All right, real quick. KFC has a new sandwich out.
I'm listening.
What is it?
Oh, well, this is a sandwich they have partnered with Cheetos.
No.
Cheetos?
No.
Yeah, it's...
You're not listening anymore, Mike.
I'm out.
It's called Dangerously Cheesy. So the sandwich will be available starting on July 1st. Basically, it is it's going to have a chicken filet, mayonnaise with a special Cheetos sauce, and a pinch of the thumb, index, and middle fingers, a layer of crunchy Cheetos, all in a toasted bun.
Nah, I'm okay. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, it is a lot. Cheetos. It's very cheesy.
Yeah, it's too much going on with that.
I don't mess with the original 12 herbs and spices. Or 11, is it 11 herbs and spices, Greg? I should know this. But whatever the Colonel's recipe is, I don't mess with it, man.
I haven't had KFC in a long time. When was the last time you guys had KFC?
I'm a Popeyes guy, but there's the one over, was it MLK? I go to that one all the time. I'm on a first-name basis with the people in the drive-thru. Sometimes I'll eat more fried chicken than any man you've ever seen.
You know Chick-fil-A, they already have bone-in chicken. Like bone-in chicken.
Really?
Yes.
I had like a tiny little bone in my nugget the other day. Remember that?
You sure it was a bone?
You're going to go get a chicken breast meal from Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, yes.
Well, what are they going to serve with it, though?
It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
As long as I got some Polynesian sauce.
Right on.
I'm okay.
See, if it's not Chick-fil-A, it's Zaxby's for me. Craig, hit the music.
That Zag sauce is
give it to you. I'm a big Popeyes man myself, man. That's my thing. I like the spice. You like churches at all?
No, thank you.
Got to be Popeyes. We'll come back. We got a Falcon report. We got an NFL player in here, so we can talk some NFL stuff with him about what's going on in the division and the league. We got Brian McFadden filling in for Carl today. The big story, though, the Hawks make a trade, and the Braves continue to be red hot and clutch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.